Okay, welcome back. It's Tuesday already, the 4th of October. George Filer is here for the Mutual UFO Network monthly report, Filer's Files. We have three of them up at the top of headlines at rents.com for you right now. We're going to talk to George about some of the outstanding material in those three latest Filer's Files and other things as well. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Fine. I'm doing fine. Actually, my back hurts, but we won't go into that. Picked up a TV and hurt my back.
Your back is quite fixable. It's a physical problem. It's a structural problem. You got to find a good chiropractor. He'll straighten it out.
Well, I was at one today, and he's fixing me up.
There you go. All right. Vice President of Skywatch International. Well, who's president?
Jim Hickman.
Wow. How did you get aced out of that?
Well, he runs it and asked me to help him.
Well, I think he should let you be president for a year.
Right. I got enough on my platter. I mean, help wherever I can.
Yeah,
you know.
You don't want to be the Dick Cheney of Skywatch International.
Right.
All right. Now, this week's Filer's Files has some interesting graphics. A UFO over Los Angeles. Boy, it's a nice enhancement. Yeah.
A lot of people are sending me nice pictures, and I thank them. And like you, I try to get them out so people see them and
for sure
review it.
Well, James has this formatted very nicely at rents.com. It's at, of course, your website as well, as are all of them. We try to archive them both places so people have plenty of opportunity. So that's a pretty good-looking disc with a white spot on top of it, on top of the dome, or if it is a dome, right over L.A. And I noticed that Clark McClelland, a very fascinating scientist, space shuttle fleet engineer, worked at Kennedy Space Center 1958 to 1992, has a nice, well, he contributed something that's very interesting. You want to tell us about that?
Well, he had opportunity to visit with many astronauts, and one that he became friends with was Lieutenant Colonel Allison Onizuka, who was an Hawaiian, but an astronaut. In any case, they were talking one day, and the colonel told him that he had gone into a movie at McClellan Air Force Base. And I don't know if people are in the Air Force or not, but regularly, once a month or something, we usually would go to Commander's Call, as they referred to it, and see some kind of a movie. Now, he claimed that he saw a movie that was unexplained, but there for people to look at, that of an alien autopsy.
Was it the same one we saw?
And the aliens. Well, that wasn't specified that it was that particular one.
Okay.
But that these aliens or extraterrestrials.
Was it narrated or just plain footage?
He didn't say specifically.
Yeah, I know. I read it. I just,
now,
nothing else we know.
It's interesting that I had talked to a couple other military officers, both Navy and Air Force, who claimed to have seen pretty much the same movie, although it was not the one that, you know, there was all the big controversy about the alien autopsy, so to speak. Although it was similar extraterrestrials, at least they assumed they're extraterrestrials, they didn't look human. Although they're humanoid in appearance, obviously.
Well, you've seen one alien autopsy, you've seen them all.
Right, I guess so.
You know, so, I mean, there's only so many ways you can cut up a 3-foot-tall humanoid, and that's it. Now, let me read this for our folks here. By the way, McClellan, McClellan Air Force Base, is not to be confused at all with Clark McClelland. It's got a D on the end. Just wanted to make sure they didn't, nobody missed that. Okay, as the description goes, as they were seated, the room darkened, and a movie began without the usual official introduction by a U.S. Air Force officer. They were all startled when a view of a facility similar to a medical examination room appeared on the screen, and small bodies were observed lying on slabs. He heard several excited comments by other officers seated near him. The small, strange-looking creatures were humanoid in shape and appeared similar to those described by alleged witnesses at the well-known Roswell site in New Mexico in 1947. They all had large heads, large eyes, slight torsos, arms, and legs. They did not appear to be of earthly origin. Ellison then said, "Clark, my God, these highly trained officers and I were shocked by what we saw. We were not made privy to what we would see until it happened. We were all caught off guard. Perhaps it was a test of our psyche to determine our overall reaction. Well, we were all caught by surprise." End of quote, end of anecdote. And thanks again to Clark McClelland and Skywatch International for sending that in to George Filer, where we all got a chance to hear it just now. That's very interesting.
I never saw the movie, and I had heard about it. And through my career, I was always interested in UFOs and was always trying to get, you know, information on it.
Right.
And there's a like a book out that has all the indexed movies in the Air Force that you can get on almost any subject, you know, how to load a bomb or fly an airplane or whatever. Well, in this index list, there was quite a few about UFOs. So I had clearances and was working for generals and everything, so I sent off to get these secret UFO films so that I could see them that may have been like the one. I don't know if it was the same one. All I know is it said, you know, film on UFOs. So
this is why you were in the service.
Right. Well,
so you tried to requisition them or borrow them or whatever.
Right. You order them and they sent to you and then you look at them and send them back. Pretty much like any library, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, to make a long story short, I ordered a bunch of them and they never came.
Not a one of them.
Not one of them. Apparently, I didn't have the right clearances, you know. And everything is compartmentalized and.
Right.
But the point is that they were in the index that the Air Force had some of these films.
Let me ask you the obvious question. Why would the Air Force show them a bogus, contrived film rather than the real thing? Any guesses on that? I mean, if they're going to show them something,
Well, I'm just guessing, of course, but I would think that it wouldn't be a contrived film, that it was something that they had information about and they kind of wanted to get it out, but at the same time, you have these clearance problems and so on, so they may have just showed it kind of as a test to see what people would think and comment on it. At different times, I've heard that there's a group of people who want to, you know, bring all this information out and give it to the public, and there's a group says, no, they can't handle it.
Right. Well.
And different times, they one or the other group, you know, is stronger than the others. And there may have been at this particular time they said, well, let's you know, give this information to certain people and see how they handle it. And we've got these, you know, officer pilots that eventually will end up as astronauts. Let's show them something and see how they react.
Right, in case they run into anything out in space or whatever. Who knows? But that it kind of reminds me of the same kind of sigh evaluation that was being done with that Disney one-hour UFO special that Michael Eisner introduced and was narrated by the late actor Robert Urich that ran, it's been 10 years plus now ago, it ran in only 5 major cities with no, absolutely zero prior announcement. They just put it on. And it was a prime time, 8 to 9 or 9 to 10-ish kind of a thing. And yeah, I've got a copy of it, and it was a no... They didn't mince any words. They said, they're here, here's what's going on, here's some pictures of them, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, it was amazing. It's what the late Peter Jennings special really should have been if they were going to level with us. Have you been able to see that yet, George?
No, I have not.
I'm sorry. I am going to make a copy for you and send it to you.
I appreciate that.
I will do that. You need to see it.
I've heard on a number of occasions that there is, you know, a group who wants to bring this information out, others who don't. And apparently the study was done, you know, 1950s. Should they give this information out, they decided that it would be harmful to the public, and particularly to scientists and people who had various beliefs in religion. And so
yeah, sure, blah, blah, blah. same old garbage. Not only are we not mature enough after 50 years of conditioning, but we don't deserve it. You know?
Well, I think we are now.
Of course we are. This is, anyway, it'll end soon enough. And for those of us who study the data, you know, the issue has long ago been resolved, but that's okay. All right, back in a minute with Mr. George Filer of the Mutual UFO Network for our monthly one-hour visit with George and Filer's Files. Filer's Files, edition number 41 already, the year 2005. Second story up there is interesting. Former Canadian Deputy Prime Minister under Trudeau and former Canadian Minister for National Defense. This is a heavyweight. Very, very big time. Paul Hellyer gave a speech in Toronto at an event entitled Exopolitics Toronto. Paul Hellyer described his time as Minister for Defense from 1963 to 67, where the occasional UFO sighting report crossed his desk. He claims to never have had time for what he considered to be a flight of fancy, but nevertheless retained an interest in the UFO phenomenon. While Minister for Defense, he was guest of honor at the opening of the world's first UFO landing pad at Alberta, Canada, in 1967. He thought it an innovative idea from a progressive Canadian community willing to pay for his helicopter ride, but did not give much thought to UFOs, etc. He has changed his public policy now. Tell us more.
Well, he happened to watch Peter Jennings' documentary, Seeing is Believing, back in February. And he said, well, you know, maybe there is something to this after all. And he happened to have Philip Corso's The Day After Roswell. And he read the book, and he thought, you know, there's a lot of information that Corso has given that I could check out. And apparently he knew some generals in the United States Air Force. Of course, everybody wonders who the general is. But he called them, and he said, well, what about Corso's claims? And this unnamed general said, every word is true and more. Which convinced him that this was all true about UFOs. People may remember that Corso said that he had some of the pieces of the crash and given out to industry, and he had.
It's where transistors came from, or something.
There was any case. It appears that the basic concept of the book, at least, was is true, and the generals. Idea, and that now Paul Hellyer has taken on the position that the UFOs are here, the extraterrestrials are here, and they're up to something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that a man of his stature, saying, look out, folks, they're here. He doesn't seem to say if they're good or bad, but at least that they are.
Well, and the same thing with doggone it. The Englishman, Lord, what's his... I can't remember his name. Former chief of staff of the Royal Air Force Fighter Wing or something. Lord, doggone it, you know who I mean.
Right.
He came... Lord North? Anyway, he came forward with it. And there have been a number of very highly placed people who have said, hey, let's, you know, cut to the chase here. This is a real thing, and we need to look at it. for what it is. Okay, next up in Filer's Files number 41, which is at the top of headlines at Rense.com, and if you're new to the program, it's R-E-N-S-E, is the picture of the California UFO disc, which is at the top of number 41, and I'm going to tell you what that is, George, right now.
Okay.
I'm going to solve this one. Being from Santa Barbara, what time of day is that?
Well, 7:15.
Okay. And if you look at the sky, you're looking southwest. You can tell by the glare. See, if you look to the right, it's brighter. If you look to the left, it gets a little darker.
Quite possible.
It's not possible. I'm telling you, this is what's going on. That's southwest. If you were to gaze over to the right, you'd be looking directly west at the sunset. That is probably the third stage of a Titan rocket going into the upper atmosphere, just leaving the ionosphere after a launch from Vandenberg. That's what they look like. The white dot is the exhaust, the heat signature. At that high of an altitude, the actual particulates from the exhaust spread out in the thin atmosphere extremely fast. Thus, like you see. You don't see the object, but that's the way they look. I've looked at many of them over the years that look like that. I will bet you $10 that's what it is. Timing is perfect. That's when they like to launch, right at sundown, dusk, calm weather. And that's that's what a third stage looks like.
We're running out of Titans.
Whatever it is.
They launched the last one.
Minuteman. It's not an Atlas. Atlas is a single stage.
At Cape Canaveral.
Okay, well, whatever it is. It's a lift vehicle.
You'd be right. I didn't think to check that.
If that's the direction that photograph is taken, which I'm going to bet it is because of the light in the background, they are visible from L.A. It gets up, 100 miles, you can see it. And at that altitude, it doesn't leave a stream behind it because the air is so thin and the exhaust gas is so hot, they just immediately flare like that. And that's what that is, I'll bet you.
Well, we can
all they
got to
do is check Vandy and see if they had a launch on the 24th at 1915 hours or thereabout. I don't know if anybody checked.
Yeah. By the way, the gentleman you were trying to remember was Lord Hill Norton.
I knew it had a North something in it. All right. Well, give me some credit. I remember. Okay. And there have been others. There have been others. We think Lord Mountbatten knew. We think a lot of people knew.
Right.
Okay, back with George Filer and all of you in just a couple of minutes. Back with George. Okay, looking through Filer's Files 41, you can see 40 and 39 there as well. Three in a row. Lots of material. Sightings all over the country, around the world as well. Of course, you'll not see them in the newspapers. Oh, no. No, no. Not important enough. Okay, George, what do you want to touch on in 41? Anything that's particularly intriguing?
Well, there's a lot of sightings going on around Chicago suburbs. Which, my mother happens to live there, and so I kind of watch that area.
Oh, it's her fault, I see.
Right.
She gets on the phone and won't quit. My son collects all these reports, and I saw something.
Well, she didn't see him, but quite a number of people have, and both Peter Davenport and Brian Vike have been getting reports, as well as myself, that people are seeing some lights moving over the area. Now, I've gotten, you know, personal calls where people have seen objects land. They said they were discs, you know, landing behind buildings. And, and through the years, I've watched the news reports, and it's not unusual to divert aircraft landing at O'Hara because of objects being picked up on the radar.
Well, we've seen photographs of one craft, a plane either taking off or landing at O'Hare, and there was an object following it. Just a small white orb. Remember that?
Right. Those orbs are fairly common, and
they can be caused by
electromagnetic factors in the aircraft itself. And it's, you never know, of course. In other words, usually if we pick those up, we're told that there's a simple explanation, but the question, of course, is that true or not?
Right.
And is that the situation? Because, of course, people are seeing orbs in their homes and their bedrooms and this kind of thing. And we get photographs of them regularly. As a matter of fact, this week's files has some in North Carolina. Again, we don't always know what the pictures are of. I show them to people. And sometimes, like, you see one and you say, well, that looks like a Titan launch. I've seen Titan launches, but they didn't look like that to me. You could see the smoke trailing and the big bright object moving up. So that's another factor. You know, you're not on the spot. You don't have a long video. You just get one image. It's difficult to tell for certain what you saw there. Now, if there's a launch at that time of night, which I'll check out, was probably the launch.
Well, I've seen, as I say,
Park, there's obviously is a long way from any launches, and they're seeing things on a regular basis. Now, again, something that can be done is, launching balloons with lights in it or something. But in other words, there's ways to fool people, and somebody could be doing something like that. Then again, we regularly get reports of red lights and objects in the Chicago suburbs. So I bring it out as an interesting case that needs investigation. And we have a good investigator down there, that Sam Maranto, which will probably, again, find out what's going on.
Great.
Now, back in August and October of last year, he investigated some cases, and he felt that, you know, they were actual unknowns. And people see things and are taking pictures on a regular basis, and we encourage people to shoot the sky, even though they may not see anything. Often, when they look at their film later, there's something there.
There is a pretty good nighttime photograph of a Wisconsin triangular object. Colfax, Wisconsin, I guess. Now, that's got, what's interesting about it to me, it's got at least three different color lights on it. That's pretty neat. Two green, two yellow, and a bright white one. September 18th. That is Colfax, Wisconsin, correct?
I think that's No, that's the Nevada one.
Colfax, Nevada?
Well, it's outside of Las Vegas.
Colfax?
No.
I mean, the picture.
The picture is for Nevada rather than...
Ah, it's misplaced. Okay. All right, that's pretty good.
Actually, that's just one of, like, 20 pictures a fellow sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And, his name is Scott, but he frankly claims that these things seem to be chasing him or following him, and we get people who claim that, but they frequently have, you know, plenty of pictures to follow. And I think we can all pretty much look at a picture and tell whether it's a normal aircraft or not. You know, these are very much different. And although on occasion we can be fooled, you know. We got a couple of thousand hours of C-141, and one came out of a cloud near my house, and I swore it was a UFO until I saw it, you know, for a few seconds more.
A 141?
Yeah, you can be fooled, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fooled myself. So. And pictures are a problem, particularly at night.
Oh, yeah.
But we are getting pictures both day and night, and they're showing patterns. Now, one significant one is the last one in 41, which actually shows a B-2 bomber. And at the RAF Fairford Air Show, mm-hmm. the UFOs are starting to show up, or are showing up on a regular basis at the air shows. Almost, and people, of course, are taking pictures of the bombers and the tornadoes and everything flying over,
mm-hmm.
and their cameras are on the scene,
mm-hmm.
and frequently flying right through the formation will be a UFO.
We've seen that several times, and it's bizarre.
Now, that indicates that, to me at least, that they want people to take notice, you know.
They're not hiding, are they?
No. And there's this particular UFO is a cigar, and it's about the length of a tornado aircraft, we'll say 80 feet, just guessing. You know, and it's not as big as a B-2 bomber, but...
it's about a third, looks like. Quarter,
right.
Third. It could be a disc on edge. We call them cigars.
Possible.
Yeah, we call them cigars.
But this is a video, and when you see the rest of the video...
stays pretty much a cigar.
Yeah, it stays pretty much a cigar.
Mm-hmm. Unlit.
And unlit, it's daytime.
Yes.
But it is, I think, a very significant video.
It is. That's a good one. All right, we have to pause, George. Hold on just a sec, please. We'll be right back with George Filer in just a minute. Filer's Files, one a week comes out for you. George Filer is here once a month to talk about some of the more interesting things going on. And lots more pictures all the time. Interesting, in number 40, the Mars orbiter taking pictures of the same area twice. And
right.
Quite a change on the surface. A lot of wind, a lot of sand moving around apparently. Something's moving around.
Well, it looks to me certainly like there's a river or a creek formed, probably by water. The surface temperature in the summer is warmer than most people realize.
So the picture on the right is the newer one.
Right.
And so what we're looking at is what appears to be water flowing into a sandier or some kind of a...
lower area.
Barren, barren kind of topography.
And these fresh gullies or valleys.
Yeah, they're caused by something of a liquid nature. I can't imagine anything else.
The water may have, you know, a lot of salt in it or something that allows it to flow at a lower temperature, you know, than water on Earth. But in any case, it certainly mm-hmm. indicates that... it's creating gullies and flowing over. Well, the first picture was taken July 2002, and a couple of years later we have photos showing these valleys and the like. And you know, there's other people who are more or less experts at this. I mean, I did some Air Force intelligence analysis and know a little bit, but obviously there's scientists who know more than I do. But, you know, when we look at the rovers going around on Mars and look closely at what, you know, they're taking on the ground, so to speak, there's indications there that there's life. There's like a sea biscuit. There's a Sir Charles Schultz of Exotech Research wrote me and said that they'd found what appears to be sea biscuits, which look like...
looks like a sea urchin.
Yeah, a star.
It was some kind of a five-pointed shape on it. Exactly. Xenotech Research, or Xenotech.
Yeah, in any case, he's found many, many things indicating shells and sea life, you know, probably in the ancient past.
Right.
Fossils, this kind of thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
Geysers, sinkholes, wash areas. That
planet is a geological treasure, and it's just sitting there.
And
it could have been there by now, you know.
Oh, sure.
No, it could have. They started planning this in the late 60s, early 70s, and the idea was to get someone there by about the year 2000, and they could have done it had they... I don't know if they could have gotten them back or not, but they could have got somebody over there.
One of the articles that's interesting is that Elvis Presley and many of the stars are quite interested in UFOs. Many of them have the hobby.
Now Elvis is still interested, is he?
Well, obviously before he died.
I see.
But he may still be interested.
He probably knows the answer by now, you see.
And
no, back to this one more little note here about the sea urchin thing with the design on it.
Right.
Charles has sent in a color picture of one from our planet, and it's a ringer, folks. It's exactly what appears in the picture of the surface of, I guess that's the surface of Mars.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
And, of course, a lot of people don't remember, but Gilbert Levin set up a program to discover life on Mars in 1976 when the rovers went there, and as far as he's concerned, they found life.
Well, they did. Two out of the three experiments were unequivocal. They were positive for biologic life, and the third was ambiguous, but apparently leaned toward that same thing. So that's two out of three at least, and you did put a picture of Elvis Presley in Filer's Files.
Right.
It's amazing. Only you could do it. You did it.
Right. Well, I always liked Elvis, and I knew his father-in-law.
Oh, yeah?
And I always admired his wife and so on, and heard some, you know, inside information. And
right.
He was apparently always interested in UFOs, and also was more religious than most people realize.
Have you been able to ascertain the truth, and I believe it to be true, of the Richard Nixon, Jackie Gleason story?
Well, it happened that we used to go down to Florida, and I never met Jackie Gleason personally, but we stayed in a area that was owned by Jackie Gleason. And many of the people there told that story that Gleason had told them.
Well, it originally came from Gleason's wife.
Right.
That was a pretty good source.
And his wife. But my wife heard it, you know, talking about people you can't remember. But do you remember that show that used to have this fellow that was a trucker? But in any case, he told my wife the story, and I forgot.
Give me a show about it. Give me more. Now, you can't just leave me hanging.
This was like 20 years ago, and he drove a truck all the time in the show. And he was a big, strapping fella, but he was a friend of Gleason, and he told that story. But a lot of people, you know, had heard the story either second or third hand that Gleason was supposedly taken by Nixon to Homestead Air Force Base.
Yeah, Nixon, they were friends, and he came over one night, apparently, you know, middle of the night, said, come on, let's go, and they got in the car, and Nixon and Gleason and their driver went to the Air Force Base there and were waved in, Homestead, and this was supposedly 1973, and Nixon took Jackie in and said, take a look.
Now, in his belief system, he built a home in the shape of a saucer and, you know, was quite interested in the subject. And in other words, he put some money where his mouth is, so to speak.
Yeah, all right. The one thing that bothers me, though, I don't know, I guess it's just for publicity, but the idea of building a landing strip. Come on, or a landing pad.
In Puerto Rico?
Anywhere. How many of those things have we seen? You don't need a...
Well, I think that part of Puerto Rico, for example, the southwestern portion is fairly poor.
There have been many people.
For ways to bring tourists. But
I'm sure. There have been many people, many communities who have talked about this over here.
But outside of that...
Silly.
You know, they have this extraterrestrial highway and so on. But there's that part of Puerto Rico. We've gotten stories year after year, and it happened that I had a friend who was an FBI agent in Puerto Rico, and he had heard a lot of these same stories and talked to people and went and investigated and... You know, in other words, he was pretty convinced that there was some truth behind all this.
Uh-huh.
And there was this Laguna Cartagena, which was a lake.
Perfect dialect.
In any case, all of a sudden, some UFOs were seen coming out of the lake and everything.
Right. It wasn't that big of a lake either, as I remember.
Right. Well... They turned around and made it into a wildlife refuge,
mm-hmm.
which is a good signal that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, they do count 127 different types of birds and so on being seen there.
Puerto Rico is riddled with apparently underground caves and things. And what other kind of cave would there be but an underground cave?
In the mountains.
Yeah, okay.
In the background, you can see the mountains, and some of the caves in those mountains are the tallest in the world, 27 stories high with inside the mountains, which you could hide a pretty big UFO base if you wanted to. Now, the interesting fact is you say, well, that's all ridiculous. It couldn't happen. But what happens, the United States has aerostats, which are balloons which carry radar.
Right.
And they can put those up as high as 15,000 feet, you know, and the radar is almost like it's flying in these balloons.
Yes.
But they could choose anywhere in the Caribbean. There's one in near Key West, but the other one is right there in Lagos, which is kind of interesting, I thought.
Well, but, it's right smack in the middle of one of the hottest UFO reporting areas anywhere in the Latin American hemisphere.
And, of course, if you ask the military, they say it's to track the incoming drug runners, that kind of thing. But it's interesting that it stays there, and I have a hunch it has two jobs, tracking UFOs and drug runners.
What about the, and we've had this story running around for years, that probably in the 80s, maybe before, the Air Force put a geosync satellite up, or maybe two or three, whose job it is to track and monitor all the comings and goings from the planet.
Well, as far as I've been told that something like six craft or six objects are coming in and out a week. How accurate that is, I don't know. I'd like to mention that lady, if possible.
Please go ahead real quick.
In any case, we have a young, red-headed, beautiful young girl, 9 years old, who's missing from her home in South Carolina, and we have her picture there, and we ask people to look at the picture, and if they happen to see somebody, she's actually from Holly Ridge, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to mention that.
Very good. Thank you, George. Thank you for the report. Thanks for the update, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month.
Okay.
All right.
Look forward to it.
Indeed. Take care.
Bye-bye.
George Filer, Filer's Files. We'll pause and be back.